Glad you're here.
We are too.
It's a good place to be this morning. We have a lot of people on vacation. We're going to be praying about them, remembering them. Oh, me. I love this place. I'll just tell you. I love LifeGate. I don't know of any other place I'd rather be this morning. Just tell you. We're doing our Sermon on the Mount and Living in the Kingdom. This is the title of our series. Jesus has invited us into His kingdom, and He's about to bring it to a conclusion. Today's lesson is called Two Gates, Two Roads. It's the 28th one that we've done. There's a few more left. Should take me right up to vacation time. If you have your Bibles, I need you to turn and to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And then I want you to do something for me. I want you to follow me just a little bit today. I need you to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And then stick something in there. And then Genesis chapter 17 and 1. They'll leave those up there for a little while I pray for us, okay? Father, use me. I want to share what You've shown me. I want to encourage people. I want to edify and exhort and comfort. And I want us to come to a place today to know that we're on the right road, that we've entered through the correct gate. So help us, Lord. And let me be a blessing to the people. Do You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, you know, we've had a lot of lessons. Like I just said, this is the 28th. And some of those lessons have had some revelatory information. And, you know, they've been good. I hope they all have been good. I hope they've all meant something to you and spoken to you and encouraged you and shown you something. But there's not been a lot of what we would call revelation at LifeGate. We haven't done what we would call a lot of deep revelation. And, you know, I hate to say that because the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know if you can get a lot deeper than the Sermon on the Mount, but... But, you know, I understand that thought. But today I'm going to knock your socks off.
Come on.
All right? Is that okay? Now, it's going to be towards the end, so you got to stay with me and hear everything I say. But I'm going to knock your socks off today. This is good. This is really good. I've enjoyed this study, and the last couple of weeks have just been really good. And I shared it with a preacher friend of mine, and his jaw just fell open. And he was lusting for this message that I'm about to give you. So he said, make sure you send me a tape. So anyway, this is going to be really a good one. And I think that I think it'll help us too. It was at this point in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus brings it to His conclusion. He's starting to finish. It's a long finish, and I like that. Because a lot of times I have long finishes. And from here, from this point on in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 13... until the end, He's giving some exhortation teaching, and He's encouraging people to come on in now. And right here at this particular point, He says something like this: okay, here's what I've got, here's what I've been able to say to you, you've heard all I've got to say about this, I hadn't got a whole lot more I can add to this, now what are you going to do with what I've told you? And here's how He said it in Matthew 7:13. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, great leaders always bring people to a point of decision making. Moses brought the people. He came down out of the mountain, and they had made this golden calf, and he come down, and he said, you know, who are you going to serve? You know, you guys, he kind of, as it was, drew a line in the sand with his staff. And he says, if you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to follow the Lord, then you come over here on this side. And that was a very serious issue because 3,000 people were destroyed because they were on the wrong side of the line. You see, great leaders are always bringing us to a place to make a decision about where we're going with our lives and what we're going to do, what we're going to accomplish. Later on, as he wrote the Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and these books, he comes to the place, he says, choose this day, blessings or cursings, life or death. You see, we get to choose. We can choose life or we can choose death. Joshua kicks that up a little bit, and Joshua says something like this, choose you who you're going to serve. But as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, great leaders are always bringing us to a place of making a decision about life and what we're going to do with our life and whether we're going to really serve God or whether we're going to serve idols or other gods. Gideon was in a war and he told the people this. He said, listen, all of you that are fearful and afraid, just go home. He said, great leaders are always bringing us to a place. Are we really going to fight? Are we going to play games? Are we really going to go after this thing with all of our heart? Are we really just going to goof around with it? You know, Elijah on Mount Carmel says, listen, guys, why are you halting between two opinions? You know, if God is God, serve God. And if it isn't God, then go serve another God. But listen, you got to stop doing this. Listen, Jesus says there's two gates. There's not three. There's no middle gate. There is the wide gate that leads to destruction, and there is the narrow gate that leads to life. And he brings it to that place, and he says, you've got to make a decision. You've heard what I've got to say. Now what are you going to do with what I've told you? And we get to choose. See, God will never make you go through either one. Enter through, he says. We make the decision. Now the Holy Spirit will lead us. And God will draw us. Father God will draw us. But eventually it is you and I who decide through which gate we enter. Enter through, he said. And again, there's no third gate. There's only two gates. One is designed to take you to life and that more abundantly. And the other is designed by the devil to take you to destruction. One is laid out from your mother's womb to give you God's perfect will for your life. The other is laid out by the devil to take you into total destruction and have a wasted life. So Jesus comes to the place and he says, okay, you've heard about it. You've heard me from all of this message and all of these points and all these things I've got to say. Now, you got to decide which one you're going to enter into. He says one's a wide gate. One's a wide gate. You can drive a semi through it, you know? With all the baggage and the luggage that we've accumulated all of our lives, you can just drive right on through there. Through there. And you can take all the stuff that you want to take with you. It's a wide gate, and it opens up even into a broader way. There's no boundaries. Right. There's no limits. You can have any attitude you want. You can be mean to people. And in fact, you're sort of expected to be mean to people. You can serve any God you want to serve. And pray or not serve any God at all. Or pray to any God you want to pray to or not pray at all. You can go into that wide gate and you can have any morality that you want to have. Men with men, women with women. That's fine. There's no boundaries there. Any sensuality that you want to have. That's fine. You can kill people with anger and kill people with your tongue. You can have anything that you want to through that wide gate. There are no boundaries. There's no limits. You can love God or not love God. You can do anything you want to through that wide gate. Going down that wide gate, and you can talk about people. You can gossip. In fact, you're sort of expected to. You can lie and be deceitful. In fact, you're sort of expected to. Because that's the kind of people you'll find going through that wide gate and going down that broad way. You'll find people that are anxious and worrying about everything. You know, it's kind of the Toby Keith gate. You know, it's all about me. I want to talk about me. And as you go through that way and down that way, you know, it's open. Do anything. Seek anything. And what's so sad is that Jesus says that many enter through it. Many, though it's always been the wrong gate, the wrong side of the line, though it's always been the wrong choice, many continue to enter through it. People become enamored with the crowds. You know, peer pressure. Family. The way my daddy or my granddaddy did it, and the way my friends do it. They become enamored with crowds. They become captured by the false promises through that gate. You see, through that gate, through the wide gate, are all the promises for joy and happiness, but they're never fulfilled. And though you find sin, and sin is fun for a season, as soon as that one's done, you're off and running again down that Broadway looking for the next promise to be fulfilled. And so through that broad gate and that Broadway is destruction. And one day, the road ends at a cliff. But the people traveling down it do not end. They tumble off into hell. And Jesus said, this road leads to destruction. There were three men who died and went to hell. You understand this is a joke. They were waiting in the waiting room to get their judgment. I want to lighten up just a little bit, okay? And the door opened, and there was this ugly woman. And a voice came to the first man and said, here is your torment. For all of eternity, you have got to live with this ugly woman. So, wow. And off they went. So, the other two were kind of upset about that a little bit, you know. And so, door opened again, and it was an uglier woman. She was worse than the first. And a voice came and said, you have sinned. And your punishment and your torture and your torment for all of eternity is to exist with this ugly woman. Well, the third guy was really upset now, and off they were taken. Door closed. And he was really, you know, he knew what was going to happen. So he turned from the door, dreading for when it opened again. And he heard it open. He didn't want to look, but he looked, he did. And there was beautiful Cindy Crawford. And a voice came and said, Cindy, you have sinned. And you're... Now, that's not even close to good doctrine, okay? But I do want to make a point from it. Down that broad road are some ugly people. Existing in hell is an existence with ugly people. With people that I don't want to spend eternity with. And that alone is a motivation for me to go in the other gate. You see, there is a hell. And there is a road to destruction. And we get to choose. It's our decision. And what Jesus is saying here is that, listen, folks, there are two gates. There are two roads. And I'm wanting you. This is what Jesus said. I want you to enter in the small gate. Please travel down the narrow road. I want to spend eternity with you, Jesus says. And let me tell you, I want to spend eternity with you. And I want you to spend eternity with me. So I'm bringing us to that gate today. And I'm telling you, enter in, please, to that narrow gate. I want to see you in eternity, in the kingdom. Jesus told a parable about a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. We're not told the rich man's name. We're just told the beggar's name, and the beggar's name was Lazarus. The rich man had gone through the wide gate. Lazarus, the old beggar, had gone through the narrow gate. They both died. Rich man woke up in hell. And here's what he said. Luke 16:23. In hell, where he was in torment. And I think it's probably a little worse than an ugly woman. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abram, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. The point that Jesus made here is that down that broad way, you might have a lot of money and you might gain a lot of things. But it's not how much money you get that will take you to destruction or to heaven. It's going through the right gate and it's traveling down the correct road. See, the guy was rich. He had been successful. And you find success down the broad way. But you can also find destruction. Lazarus, a beggar, though poor, entered in the correct gate and spent eternity with Jesus and with Father. So it's not how successful we are going down the broad way. It's how we make a decision on choosing the correct gate. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to come in the correct gate. Please, he says, enter in the narrow gate. So we don't have to go the wrong way, do we? We don't have to go. We make that decision to go to hell. He says, if you will come and if you will come and follow me and you will align your life with my things that I've taught you in my sermon, then you can make it. You can go through. And I want to, we have spent, like I just said, this is the 28th week that we've spent on nothing but talking about the Sermon on the Mount. It is extremely important in making a decision. And I think it would behoove all of us to go back and make a check sheet, starting with Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and start coming all the way through to the end of chapter 7 and seeing how those principles and how we align with them and check those off one by one by one to see how we are and where we are in relationship to that gate. That's what he says. Listen, there's so much there and we can't recap it, but it's everything about entering in that gate that we need to know. And he says, okay, I've told you all I can tell you. I've taught you all I can teach you. Look at your life. Align it with what I've told you. And you can now enter in to my narrow gate, but you can enter into life. Matthew 7:14 says this, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And look at this. Only a few find it. See, it's a small gate. And the picture that he gives us is this doorway. The picture he gives us is something we can't drive a tractor trailer through. In fact, we've got to leave everything right there. It's a small gate. And there are limits. And there are boundaries. But it's the way to life. And it's the way to good stuff. And only a few, he says, finds it. You see, you won't enter the narrow gate by chance. You find it. You seek first the kingdom of God. You don't enter into the narrow gate by chance. You have to look for it. You have to seek it. You have to purposefully find it and enter into it. And this is why we've tried to project images to you that shows that we've got something to do. We've got a mountain to climb or just coming into it is more than a prayer. You see, you have to really seek this thing. You have to seek the Lord. You have to seek His presence. To seek His love. It's interesting to me that Jesus placed a singular emphasis here by saying, few find it. He was talking about two things. He's talking about a gate and he's talking about a road. A narrow gate and a narrow road. He's talking about two things, but he uses a singular it. Let me show you what I'm talking about because I'm seeing something and I want to share it with you and I'm about to hit into where I'm going to knock your socks off. It says in verse 14 again, but small is the gate and narrow is the road. Those are the two things he's talking about. That leads to life, and only a few find it. Singular. Now, does the it speak of both the gate and the road? or just the road? What is the it? Now, you can't separate them. You can't have the road without the gate. And so what I want to share with you right now is something that I'm seeing and something that I think is really going to encourage you and help you and bless your life. So if you're in Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to look at this verse with me. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says here, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." That's why you can't take the tractor-trailer truck through there. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," now look at this, "the race that is set before us." The NIV Bible writes that verse this way, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And then the Living Bible, it says it this way, "Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." You see, there's only one door. There's only one way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's only one. He says, "No man can come to Father except they come through me." Right? He is the door. He is the way. There is no other. But the roads are different. You see, the road that takes me to life and that more abundantly is not going to be the same road that's going to take you to life and to that more abundantly. Do you hear me? What's going to bring you life and fulfillment in your life is you finding your road and going and traveling down your road. What's going to bring me life and bring me abundance and bring me happiness and fulfillment in my life is finding my road, finding it, and going down it. Going down my road, the course that is laid out for me. I have a course laid out for me. I have a road laid out for me. From my mother's womb, there is a perfect will of God that if I can find it and that if I can get on that road, I will have such an astounding life, such an abundant life. God will bless me in every sort of possible way, but I've got to find it. Have you found it? Now, you may have found the door. We hear a lot about, you may have found the gate. But have you found the road? See, there is a road that is laid out, a course that is laid out for you. And when you find it, when you find that road, there is such a promise of life, such abundance, such happiness, such joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for you when you find it. Because it is revealed to us only by His Spirit. Come on, help me now. You see, there is an it for you. There's a wide way that anybody can get down. And you can find destruction. But if you'll get through that narrow one and lay down those things that beset you and holding you back and find it. And what happens is we all get through the door. Believers find the door, the gate. What begins to happen? We start getting nudged off the way, the road. You see, the enemy doesn't come at us with this fantastic plan that's just going to snatch us off. We're too smart for that. We're believers in Jesus Christ, and we're not going to fall for that kind of stuff. So he nudges us. And degree by degree, he knocks us off course. And though we've gone through the gate, we've got knocked off it. We've got knocked off our course that leads us to life. And that's why you see Christians that aren't happy. That's why you see Christians that are sad. That's why you see Christians with long, sour faces and not the joy of the Lord. Because they have got knocked off it. And they're degrees off course. And if Satan can keep you off course, if Satan can keep you off it, you're not happy. You're not doing what you're called to do. You're not doing what God has a perfect will for your life. So we get knocked off, and anything can knock us off course. Anything can nudge us off course. Anything. Anything can nudge us off course from finances to friends. Friends can knock you off course. People become so enthralled and so in debt that they get knocked off course because they've got to have finances. And so they're saved and they've gone through the gate, but they've got knocked off course in the perfect will of God for their life, and they've lost their joy, they've lost their happiness, and sometimes they lose their families. Anything can get us knocked off course. From a job to a spouse. So anything can be used. Satan tried to use Peter one time to knock Jesus off course. Jesus says, I'm going to go to the cross. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. And Jesus was grabbed by Peter, and Peter says, not so, Lord. Get behind me, Satan. See, the enemy was using Peter, an apostle, to knock Jesus off course. And Jesus recognized it. And what we've got to do is recognize that when we get nudged off the perfect will of God for our lives. Remember Abraham? You got your socks on good? Put your socks up. I'm about to knock your socks off. Abraham was in this relationship with Father, with God, with the Lord. From the time that he left Ur of the Chaldees and went out into following the Lord, there was this constant time where every time Abraham would go to a new place, he would build a new altar, and he was having this constant relationship with the Lord, and they were in this constant dialogue. He comes to Genesis chapter 15, and in Genesis chapter 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham. He says, man, I'm going to make you like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. He says, I want you to kill these cows and goats and all this stuff and birds and sacrifice. I want you to keep the buzzards off of them. And Abraham did all of that, man. It was great. Man, he was in the presence of God. Oh, my goodness. Genesis chapter 15 comes to a conclusion, comes to an end. And then there is no recorded conversation or presence of God in Abraham's life for 15 years. Abraham didn't hear the voice of God for 15 years. Abraham didn't get the blessings of God for 15 years. In fact, when you look at his life for those 15 years, you find nothing but turmoil, nothing but heartache, nothing but a disrupted home life. For 15 years, he got knocked off course. For 15 years, he was going down the wrong road. Did he love God? Was he out there trying to do something for God? But he didn't hear the voice of God, and he wasn't receiving the blessings from God. He wasn't experiencing the presence of God. Well, what happened? What took place? What was it that nudged him off his course that God had set for him? One day he came home, right after he had made this covenant in Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 16, he comes home, and Sarah has this great idea. Sarah is Abraham's wife. Said, listen, Abraham, you know, I know you really want to fulfill God's plan for you, and I can't have babies. So what I want you to do is, I've got this 19-year-old servant girl. Abraham says, sounds like God to me. What? I've got this 19-year-old servant girl, and I want you to take her and have a baby. Some of you are snickering. Abraham says, okay. Now see, Sarah, his wife, was used to nudge him off the course that God had set for him. You can read this in your Bible. It's chapter 16. And Sarah was used. See, the enemy will use anything. Now, Sarah was trying to help. Sarah was really trying to help Abraham fulfill God's purpose for his life. But in actuality, see, Peter thought that he was trying to help Jesus. But in actuality, he was being used to nudge him off and to knock him off course. So for 15 years, nothing but turmoil. For 15 years, Sarah and Hagar going at it. For 15 years, mocking. For 15 years. But you don't have to stay off course. You see, some of us are off course. See, some of us have not had the blessings of God for a long time. Some of us haven't heard the voice of God for a long time. Some of us haven't had the blessings and the presence of God in our life for a long time. And what's happened is we've gotten nudged off course. You still love the Lord? He was still out there trying to have kids like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. He was out there trying. He was doing his best. But he had got knocked off course. But he didn't stay off course. In chapter 17, the very first verse that we come up with there is that Abraham had finally discovered that his way was not the right way. Things had not gone well over these last 15 years. And so finally he comes to the place that God had let him run down. He said, God will let us go that way. If that He loves us, if that's what you want, if that's what will make you happy, then you go for it. But it's not God's best for us. And so finally God comes back to him. In Genesis chapter 17, and in verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Now look at this part. Walk before me and be blameless. In other words, Abraham, you have gotten off course and you got to get back walking before me. You have gotten nudged off course. And buddy, I need you to get back walking before me. If you want my blessings, if you want my presence, and if you want to hear my voice, then you've got to get back on the right road that I've laid out for you, the course that I've laid out for you. Because I want to talk to you, Abram. I want to bless your life. Get back. And what happened was so cool. So I was looking at this, you know. And what God did for him in verse 2 of chapter 17 of Genesis is take him back to the last time he heard his voice. Took him back to the last time that he knew he heard God. Look at this. In the next verse, chapter 2 of Genesis chapter 17. I will confirm my covenant between me and you. And you will greatly increase your numbers. Here's what I see. Listen. If you haven't heard God's voice in a while, go back to the last time you know you did hear it. If it's been a while, you go back to where he made covenant with you. You go back to where you know for a certainty that you heard the voice of God, you experienced the presence of God, where you know you were in the blessings of God, and you go back there, and there you'll find God again, and you'll find His presence again, and you'll find His joy again, and you'll find His voice again, and you'll find His blessings again. You got to go back to the where it was where you got nudged off. Just go back. Because He's still got the same course laid out for you. The course hasn't changed. The road hasn't changed. It's there. It's there until you go on to be with the Lord. That's the road laid out for you. That's the perfect will of God for your life. And all you got to do is go back to the last time that you know you heard His voice and hook up again with that covenant and let Him confirm His covenant with you. Now some of us here aren't experiencing the presence of God. We look around, we're running down the road, and things are okay, but I'm not experiencing His presence. And, you know, home's kind of screwy, you know? Things aren't good. What's happened? You've gotten nudged off. You still love the Lord. You're going to go to heaven when you die, but you're not experiencing God's best. You see, there is a good and an acceptable and a perfect will for God. Will of God for your life. And what God wants to tell you today is, listen, I want to bless you. I have a plan and a course laid out for you. And if you'll lay down those things that so easily beset you, and if you'll get back to the last time you know you heard me talking to you and speaking to you, if you'll hook back up with me there where I made covenant with you, I will bless your life beyond belief. I will bring you my absolute best. Now hear me. So Abraham went back. He was 99 years old. He went back. Renewed that covenant. God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to cut away all that other stuff. I want you to circumcise all that other stuff away. Just circumcise. We're going to get rid of the bondwoman and her son. We're going to get you back on course. He says, and you're going to have a seed. He was 99 years old. A couple of weeks later, God and two angels show up at Abram's house. The presence of God has come back to Abram's life. Oh, well, you know, that alone is pretty cool. But he's sitting out there talking to Abram and he says, where's Sarah? She's in the tent. Well, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And you know the story. Sarah laughed. But you know what happened 9 months later? They had a baby. And they named him Laughter, Isaac. And the thing that Abraham so desperately wanted, the thing that Abraham wanted in life, he got. He got it back because he got back on course. Listen, I don't know what you want from God. I don't know what your dream is. I'm looking at you. I'm seeing faces. Some of you are crying. Some of you are just touched. Listen, God has a course for you. And whatever that it is that you want, He wants to give it to you more than you really want to have it. And all He's saying is, listen, walk before me. If you'll walk before me, I will bless you. If you'll walk before me, I will make you like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. And the thing that you want most, I'll give it you. But you got to walk before me. God is each of us a course. He's laid it out specifically for you. Specifically for me. There was a man who had done very well walking down his course of life, the life that God had called him to do. And he has done real well walking his course for life. And so he was walking on the beach one day and God spoke to him and he said, son, he says, you've done very well walking down the course of life that I've laid out for you. What is it that you would like for me to do with you? For you, ask me anything and I'll do it for you. The man said, I want to go to Hawaii. He said, but I can't fly in airplanes. He says, I'm deathly afraid to fly in airplanes. I have these anxiety things and I lose my mind in an airplane. And he says, and I can't sail on a boat. He says, I can't go across the ocean in a boat. He says, because I come deathly ill when I'm on a boat and on water. And he says, and so I can't go across. But he says, so I need you to build me a bridge from California to Hawaii. God said, son, you know I can't do that. Just think of the logistics involved in that. I can't build you a bridge to go in there. He says, think of something else. Give me something else that you would like for me to do for you. The man said, okay. He said, well, I'm married. He says, but my wife says I don't understand her. My wife says I don't understand her and I can't make her happy because I don't understand what she needs. He says, can you teach me, can you show me how to understand a woman, how to make a woman happy? There was silence in heaven for several minutes. Finally, the voice came back and said, now, how many lanes did you want on that bridge? Did you want two lanes or four lanes? God will do anything for you when you're walking before Him. When you're wanting to go His way and do things for Him, He will build you a bridge. Listen, you can't tell me that if He can make Adam a woman, you can't tell me that if He can open up a Red Sea for Noah, for Moses, if you can't tell me that if He can stop the sun for Joshua, you can't tell me that if He could raise Lazarus from the dead, that He can't take care of that little thing that you want. You can't tell me that. You say, all you got to do, come on, all you got to do is walk before Him. Hook back up the last time you heard Him. The last time you know you felt His presence in your life. The last time you know He made covenant with you. The last time that you felt the blessings of God and saw the blessings of God in your life. You go back there. You say, God, I want to get back on course. And I want my blessings. I want You to take me down it. Down my road. The course that You've laid out for me. Is that okay? Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. God loves us. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. We never like to come to the conclusion of a service and not lead people in sinner's prayer. So maybe you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about. Maybe you don't know this door, this gate that I'm speaking of that will bring you into a life that's so abundant, that will bring you such fulfillment and happiness in life. Maybe you don't know Him. Or maybe you've got nudged off. I want to pray. It's going to be a prayer I'm going to ask everybody in here to recite with me. They're going to be saying in the microphones. And it's just going to be a prayer. Lord, I want to receive You as my Lord and my Savior. And I want to come into Your kingdom. I want everybody in here to pray it. Some people receive Jesus just this way because, you see, it's a private gate. You find it yourself. And you can find it right now praying this prayer. And you can enter in. And maybe you've gotten nudged off. And you're ready to get back. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to bring us back to the last time we made covenant with Him. And the last time we hooked up and heard His voice and felt His presence and were receiving His blessings. So I just want everybody in here to pray with me. Father God.
Father God.
I give my life to You again.
I give my life to You again.
And I ask You, Lord, to use me.
I ask You to bring me back into covenant.
I ask You to take my life.
Make it a blessing for the kingdom.
And bless me as You do it.
I want to serve You for the rest of my life.
I receive Jesus as my Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.